Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Tim Gossage in the chair for the next couple of hours. I'll be here again tomorrow as well. And I think I checked the roster and the spreadsheet that I was given. I think I'm in the chair next week, which is good. Can't wait. And just warming up. 1-300-736-736 is the open line. Thanks to Werribee Kia, the Kia Model Year 22 Stonic is now in stock. And don't forget the Tempur-Tex machine. Tempur, a mattress like no other. 0433 98 11 16. Daniel Fox is a professional golfer, and he's just texted in, very poor decision by Golf Australia to draw a line in the Australian Open. I appreciate not being able to fulfil the contract requirements for overseas players and exposure, but they have a due diligence to run the event for the players and the Golf Australia subscribers who pay affiliation fees each year. It's all their event as much as commercial partners. Thought the same thing, Foxy, and we're going to speak a little bit later in this hour to James Sutherland from Golf Australia, of course, CEO of Golf Australia. In regards to exactly that, I thought whether you reduce the prize money a bit but still put it on the circuit to allow the current listed Australian players who are here who don't have any travel restrictions to actually get a piece of the pie and still run it as the Australian Open. I tend to agree with that. I'm going to try and get to the bottom of that. But in the meantime, let's talk trade period, the winners and losers. And Matt Rendell has been incredibly busy on SEN and, of course, with AFL Trade Radio. And he is with us. Matty, are you breathing today? Are you glad that we've come up for air?
I'm good, Timmy. I wouldn't mind the amount of holidays for Pipers, though. That's a good gig.
I know. I just looked at my spreadsheet and I realised I think he's coming on another shift. So he'll be doing drive. I think.
And it was a frustration for everyone, really, wasn't it? Especially the punters out there. But Tim, they were warned very early on in trade week before it even started. I said on trade radio, this is going to be slow. And I told everyone why. You know, everyone's really tight in their cap. They pushed money back or players' contracts back into this year from last year when they cut roughly $1.2 million off, cut two players off the list as well to save some money because of COVID, and thinking it would go back up again this year. Well, it didn't go up because of more COVID. And we might be in the same position next year. I don't think it's going to go up next year either. They haven't heard. They're waiting for it. But clubs were really tight in their cap this year, so it was virtually, you know, one out, one in they could do, and that's why there was no big names, there was no big money, and it was very slow.
Yeah, okay. I opened up the show by saying, and, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it was a boring, it was a snooze fest, a snore fest. I disagree, Matt, and I know I just think we knew what we were in for. We had a couple of texters as well, Matt, who basically said that it for those borderline players, and not all borderline, you know, Chera and Dawson and Kelly are probably not borderline and stuff, but for the best part, it's a great opportunity of seeing the workings of player managers, players, clubs, media, all together. And look, this goes on all year. Just because AFL Trade Radio and Trade Time is made public over the last couple of weeks, it goes on, as you know, it's on all year. List managing and delisting and futures of footballers and clubs and salary caps is a 365, 7 days a week, 24/7 process.
Well, it'll start in February, but it actually for futures. So you're trading your future picks. You want to know what the draft looks like next year. So I did that for 2 years at Collingwood and basically gave them a book on both drafts, so last year's draft and this year's draft as well. It was really hard to do this year's draft because they were 16-year-olds, but that's why clubs have people doing, watching 16, 17-year-olds, so they know what they're doing, what the future draft, and you know, already they're saying that it's one of the great tools drafts next year. So clubs are positioning themselves well for next year, hoping that the salary cap goes back up. If it goes back up, there'll be a stacker movement next year. You can expect Hawthorn to be massive players. With Gunston will be out. I think O'Meara will be out. But the other three will all have a Bruce Mitchell and Wingard will have another year to go on their contract. But they'll have a decision to make, those three blokes. Whether they want to go or stay, I expect they'll have really good years. And Bruce might just play another year and retire. So But Wingard and Mitchell will have plenty of footy left in them. So we'll wait and see what happens. They'll be big players next year, Hawthorn, I imagine.
Yeah, I like Hawthorn's list. I think they're going all right. All right. I want to dissect the ins and outs. So we're going to try and get through them all. So it's going to be brief. And then I've got to ask you about a couple of other ones that jump off the page. Adelaide got Dawson and they lose Jake Kelly. Win or lose?
It's a win.
Brisbane, Darcy Fort arrives as ruck backup, but no one has left.
Just a break. It's a break square. They needed the ruck backup for McInerney after Archie Smith retired. They really haven't got anyone else. So they got a good young kid, but he's 18 years of age, rising 19. So he's going to take some time. So it was a good decision, but you know they didn't have to do anything. They just had to hold the fort, excuse the pun.
Well, they did. Adam Chera, George Hewitt and Lewis Young arrived at Carlton. They lose Sam Petrescu's seat. Are you happy with that?
Happy with it at the moment, but this one's going to need the test of time because I rate Sam Petrescu's seat pretty highly. I want to see how him and Chera compare next year playing before I know that's sitting on the fence, but Hewitt will be a big in for him. It's something that they need. A tagger, he's tough, he plays for keeps. And just on Carlton, there was a lot of talk over the trade period about six players taking a pay cut to fit Chera in. I know that me and Sam Hargraves last night were debating it. Well, I had no idea. I don't know where it started from, but my information on a text message I received late last night was that is not true. No Carlton player took a pay cut to fit Chera in. And George Hewitt, argument about George Hewitt was, I didn't debate George Hewitt going there. He's a free agent. It costs him nothing. I wondered about the 4 years. He had three other clubs chasing him, and he's not on big money. And I think the fourth year that Carlton offered him swayed him to go to Carlton instead of the other club. So smart move by Carlton to give him another year. He's not on big money. They've got money to do Walsh next year. So there's ticks, ticks, ticks everywhere for them. I think they might have undersold Petrescu's seat, and that's the only thing I'll say about that.
All right, Collingwood get Kruger, Lipinski. They lose Max Lynch. We've had a couple of people disappointed with that, but they did some moving around to get the points for the father-son, Nick Dacos.
Big winners. Just about the biggest, I think. They got all their points for Dacos. Mm. They got the two players they wanted in. Lipinski, in particular, will play straight up in their midfield, helps out with their young kids. He's ready to go. Pendlebury side bottom, you know, maybe a year or 2 years out. So he's a perfect fit for him. Kruger, not so sure on Kruger yet. Jury's out for me. But he's certainly athletic and he certainly can play. Needs to get more competitive. So hopefully we see that with them. And the other thing they've done super well, they've got their picks back from that they traded out originally. And they've still got pick 27. Now, that 27 is hugely valuable. Clubs will come for that in between from now through the draft. Even they have to get rid of it before Dacos' name is called out. Well, if they call out his name, Collingwood can take 5 minutes and they can get rid of it in that period. That's the last period they can get rid of it because it'll get gobbled up for Dacos and it's got a lot of value. Any picks in the 20s, they've got huge value, as we saw with Freo with 19. It's got massive value. So they were big winners, Collingwood. They've not quite recovered from the disaster last year, but they're well on the way back.
All righty, let's get through these. Essendon get Jake Kelly. They don't lose anyone. They've got pick 11.
Oh, just a break square there. I'm not even sure. I'm not convinced Jake Kelly's in their best team. So their defence looked really good last year. I don't know who goes out of their defence unless they've got some plans for someone else for him to come in there. But he is a good lockdown player. He gives them really good depth there in defence. Jury's out for me on him being in their best team at the moment.
Okay, Fremantle got Brody out of the Gold Coast. They get Jordan Clark. They lose Adam Chera, but they've got a big hand in the draft, 6, 8 and 19.
Yeah, look, I love that hand in the draft. I think they're winners, even though they lose Chera, but they got the right price for him at 6. The deal to get, they took Brody, took his $400,000, I think it's around that, and got pick 19, a massively valuable pick, especially as you know, Tim, there's a lot of good WA kids there this year that will go inside the top 25. They might be able to clean up with three of them, which they'll be ecstatic about. So I think they're winners, even though they lost Chera. They knew he was going to go for a long while. And Clark, right here, right now, he's not He's not in Chera's class, but he could easily get up close to him.
All righty. Now, Geelong, again, they get an aged player. They add another veteran, so to speak. Jonathan Segler comes in to assist in the ruck. They lose Fort, they lose Kruger, and they lose Jordan Clark as well. They've got four picks inside the top 35.
Yeah, it's a tick because they fixed up a problem for him, even though Stanley, we know he can play, but he plays one really good one in three. He gets burnt often by the really good ones. Segler won't. He'll be great for him for 2 years, and it gives him a real chance to win a flag again. Loss of Clark, well, let's see how he goes at Freo. I don't mind him as a player. He does burn the ball a little bit. Needs to tidy up his kicking and decision-making, and that's maybe why he missed out. Fort is not an issue. They got Segler in. So I'm going to give him a tick because they fixed up a badly needed hole that they had.
Chole arrives at the Gold Coast. They lose Brody, and they've got pick three in the draft, and that's it.
Yeah, well, they the interesting thing about Gold Coast, Tim, I don't know if people realise, so they had all these picks that Collingwood swooped on straight away. So they end up with all these picks because they're trading four picks the previous year. But what's happened with all their academy kids when they've changed the rules? And this is their last year, I think. They put all their academy kids to the back end of the draft, so no one can bid on their academy kids. They go at the end of the draft, and so they add them on there onto their list. So that's why they traded out all those picks. And they traded them all out for future picks next year. So next year they will get bidded on, I think. And I think that rule goes back to normal. So they've loaded up for next year. So it's a tick for them. They'll get a gun there at three. They might split it. And someone might give them two for the one. That'll be good for them as well. And Chole really helps ruck forward. Helps Ben King. Helps Witch in the ruck. I think they get a tick for me, Gold Coast.
All right. Jeremy Finlayson has gone, of course. He's left GWS. They've got picks 2 and 13. I want to play this. This was Colin Young, who is the player manager of Bobby Hill. He talks about that saga. Have a listen to this.
You know, you go in, you're given the job by your clients, and you want to achieve the right result for all parties. So, you know, it's very deflating. It's very upset. I just spoke to Paul Connors. We call him Bobby Sugars. He did a magnificent job, and it's the reverse. They did a great job and got their players away, and we had a couple that were in play, and it didn't happen, unfortunately, but that's the business we're in.
Colin, there's been a bit of noise about Bobby Hill being unhappy to stay in Sydney for compassionate reasons. He wants to go to Victoria. If those compassionate reasons were legitimate, why was he not happy to go to another club aside from Essendon?
Well, I think logically it's legitimate because it wasn't a contract, you know, 5 years by a mil or 5 years by 800. It was just a contract which is similar to his on right now. And I know that speculation about, you know, the agents go to their trade book and try and get things done. We actually did this with a legitimate trade for compassionate reasons. And, you know, Bobby's cousin plays at, you know, at Essendon. You know, Bobby rang Essendon himself to try and get the trade done before we even got a chance to get on the phone. You know, Ian flew down his father from Newman today to be by Bobby's side to work him through it, and, you know, with what's going to happen today. So it was a legitimate reason, you know, the right things were there. I thought it could get done, with Rory and the contract. I just thought there was all the right key elements to get this deal done.
What do you make of that, the Bobby Hill deal not getting done? You got any sympathy for him?
I have, but honestly, Colin, too late. Too late to put Hill in motion. Too late to put Lob in motion. We only heard about him really late, didn't we, Gossie? Like last weekend, Tim, was Hill. Rory Lobb a little bit before that. You've got to get medical checks. You've got to do interviews. There's a lot of work that gets done that people probably wouldn't know about when they're doing trades like this. And if you come into the system there too late to try and organise a trade, this is a result you get. And clubs haven't planned for this, you know, when one of their players is going out so late as well. So, and, you know, as Jason McCartney rightly said, we need a small forward. And we lose a small forward, we want to get another one in. Well, they didn't have time to get one in. And that was the big issue with Lobb and Bobby Hill. They didn't... GWS did not have time to find a replacement. They went really late for Bruce. And that just wasn't going to happen. So get organised earlier, for Christ's sake.
All righty, we've got to get really press on through these ones. They've been very comprehensive, but we've got to get through. Hawthorn, they get Lynch, they lose Segler and O'Brien, yes or no?
Break square.
Yeah,
get in Gilson, but I'm not unhappy with it. They'll be real super competitive next year, and expect those players to have season career best career seasons next year.
All righty. Now Luke Dunstan's gone to Melbourne. They haven't lost anyone. Why would they?
Go up to 17, so they get a tick. Good in for me. Allows them to play their gun midfielders elsewhere and give them a rest and take the pressure off.
Coleman Jones goes to North Melbourne. They lose Robbie Tarrant, but they've got pick one. They'll take the boy out of Adelaide.
Yeah, they get a tick. Fill a hole they badly need to fill, which is a key forward and part-time ruck. Larky did all by himself last year.
Finlayson arrives at Port Adelaide. They lose Laddams. They've only got one pick inside the top 63. That's at pick 12, Port Adelaide.
Just a break square there. A similar player in to a similar player out. Let's see what they do with their rucks on game day.
Tarrant comes to Richmond to shore up their back line on the retirement, of course, of Dylan Grimes. Chole and Coleman Jones have left the club. I like Richmond's hand in the draft. I think they've got six picks under 40.
Yeah, they got a massive hand in the draft, but as far as trades go, it's a loss. Chole and Coleman Jones came in and played a fair bit of footy this year. Jack Riewoldt at 33, rising 34, Lynch at 30. If they lost those two blokes, they go, where's Coleman Jones and Chole? We need them badly. So a bit of a loss, but it won't affect their chances of winning the flag next year. There's still a massive chance.
All righty. Let's go to St Kilda. They get no one in. They lose Luke Dunstan. They got pick nine and then nothing to the 60s.
It's probably a loss, really, with Dunstan going out. But, he's not going to be in their best team. They've gone for Seb Ross in front of Dunstan, clearly. They get Gresham back into their midfield. That's probably why they let him go. So probably a loss, but no, they've done all their stuff in the last 2 years.
All right. Laddams goes to Sydney. They lose Dawson and Hewitt. Win or lose?
It's a loss for Sydney. Both really good players in their best 18, Dawson and Hewitt. Couldn't keep Hewitt. He's a free agent. Mm-hmm. And Dawson going back home. But they get Laddams in. But the jury's still out for me on Laddams, whether he's going to be a number one ruck.
Agree. West Coast, they get Petrevsky seat and they lose nobody. A little bit gun-shy, I reckon, after the Tim Kelly trade, of course, some time ago. They've got pick 10 and they've got a couple of others. And Jared Brander doesn't have a home at the moment.
Yeah, double tick for me. I really like Petrescu Seaton, as I said. I think he helps their midfield huge, and they got him for a packet of chips, Tim.
Tim O'Brien goes to the Bulldogs, and they lose Lipinski and Lewis Young. They've got picks between 23 and 52.
Probably a break square, because they've got that. I want to see what happens with the 23. As I said with Collingwood's 27, this is massively valuable. It'll go out somewhere, because it'll get taken up by Darcy and it's got, someone's going to give them something really good for it. So we've got to wait on Collingwood and Bulldogs. I think they're probably a break square, the Bulldogs. Collingwood are in front already, but Bulldogs could go way in front if they can get a really good deal for that 23.
No doubt. And Asprey, not Grimes, sorry. The name escaped me.
Asprey
was the retiree. Just a quick one. Jared from Mornington texted in. He said, I thought Bobby Hill requested a trade last year. If that's true, they shouldn't have been caught off guard this time around.
That was unbeknownst to me. Did we know that?
I'm not sure.
He tried to get back next year. Well, did he try to get to Essendon or did he try to get back home to Perth? I don't know. It's news to me. Oh,
I think Perth. I think you might be right. I think WA was on the card somewhere. Yep.
Okay. We know the Jordan Clark one was. We knew that. But I wasn't sure on the Bobby Hill. So that gentleman, he might know that. But
I'm sure the majority
of us didn't know that. Yeah.
No. Hey, Matty, good chat, and thank you for dissecting the winners and losers of the AFL trade period, and we look forward to seeing how the lists now manage and what the futures are for several players who are out of contract and some might have to find new homes.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of activity around GWS's pick 2 and Gold Coast Suns pick 3. I think there's some clubs that we're trying to push up and get hold of that. Watch for that up until the draft and even draft night.
Nice work by you. Good on you, Matty. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tim. Okay.
Good on you, mate. Matty Randell, we're very busy over the last couple of weeks. Don't forget, that was from McCafe's new blend. It's coffee fit for an Aussie. Not far away, we will be talking golf with the CEO of Golf Australia, James Sullivan, on the news that the Australian Open won't be up and running. Someone on the Temper Tech said, you're talking about Daniel Fox or Ryan Fox? I'm talking about Daniel Fox. He's a professional golfer in Australia and plays on the PGA Tour here in Australia. And he's unhappy. Thinks the Australian Open should continue for those who are part of the tour here in Australia, not just for those who can come in from overseas. We'll put that to James Sutherland. Jordan Clark will join us. Sam Power, the Bulldogs list manager, and Shifter Sheehan about the draft crop going forward. So much to come. This is Dwayne's World. Thanks for your company.